Yes, Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. You are powerful and mighty, majestic, Lord. You are awesome in every way, Lord. You are faithful and good, Lord. And we humble ourselves before you, Lord. That we trust in your blessing on us, Lord. And we pray that you continue, Lord, to let us see all your provision and all your guidance and all the gifts, Lord, that we have because of your grace. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, this morning as we are in this place, Lord, we pray that you give us the grace and the wisdom to also see your purpose, Lord, and direction in our very lives in this present time, Lord. And to understand, Lord, that you are a God who is in control of every situation and circumstance in our life, Lord. And as we face challenges and storms and trials and tribulations, Lord, you want us to react in worship with faith, Lord, praising your name and trusting you in every way, Lord. So speak to us, Lord, through your message and allow us to be sensitive, Lord, to everything that you have for us this morning. Lord, we thank you for this place in which we are, for the freedom that we have to proclaim your name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have in this nation, Lord, to be, Lord, what you called us to be. Thank you for this place in Grand County and for every church that is preaching and proclaiming your word, Lord. I pray that you direct us in every way, that you guide us, Lord, to proclaim your truth, and that you allow us to be the light in the midst of darkness. We thank you for everything, Lord. Now, give us eyes and ears to hear your word, Lord, as we go into it this morning. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are going to dismiss the children now. And then, praise God for all of these little ones that are going to Sunday school and getting prepared and ready to trust in Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, good morning. Welcome everyone who's here. And if you're visiting us today, I would like to invite you to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35. We've been going in a series through the gospel according to Mark here for this year, and we've managed to get as far as Mark chapter 4 here to the end. And I want to just read this passage from verse 35 through verse 41 this morning, a passage that we know as Jesus calming the storm. Now, just for the sake of context here this morning, if you remember, we were going through this chapter and we were talking about parables and Jesus revealing to his disciples that through parables they were to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. And these secrets that Jesus was explaining to them were not for everyone, but only for the disciples in some way. So faith in the storm is what I have titled this message this morning. And in verse 35, it says that in the same day as Jesus was teaching parables and sharing with them these secrets of the kingdom of God, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, as he was. And other boats were with them, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That verse right there on the end, they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So we're going to talk about storms this morning here a little bit. And we know that there are storms and there are storms. Amen? and also storms within the storms. Seems like that's kind of the case in some situations. And as I look at this passage, you know, I feel that and I see that the Lord is confronting the faith of the disciples, or where is their faith or their fear. And as they were finishing the day and the parables were being taught, he has something in mind to invite them to go to the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And if you look at this, Jesus has a plan. And in his plan, there is a terrible situation to take place. But this terrible situation in the lives of the disciples is going to be transformed in an amazing conclusion. Something that the Lord is going to do here is going to transform everything that they have learned so far in regard to the Messiah and go to a deeper level of knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is. And through any storm that we face in our lives, we have to remember and we have to realize there is a plan of God for us through the storms. Amen? There is a plan. And, you know, as we look into this, I want to just go into it right away. And first of all, something that I want to mention and I see here is the power of Jesus to reign over every storm. And our faith is going to grow and develop in the way in which God wants to when we learn to see that Jesus reigns, not only over this storm, but over every storm. And first of all, we look at this passage and we see that the disciples were in the middle of the storm. And we question, why are they in the midst of this storm? And the answer is clear. They were there because they were following the Lord. Amen? The Lord is guiding them and leading them to a storm. In verse 35 of chapter 4, it says that on that day, when evening had come, he is the one who told him, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So God leads us into storms and difficulties and challenges to show us that he is in control of the storms. He's got the power to stop the storm. And he's saying, "Let us go to the other side because I'm going to show you something." And after this story and this process of these circumstances, the conclusion of the disciples was, he is in charge of the storm. Look how he finished the passage there in chapter 4, how the writer finishes the passage. "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They were filled with fear, and they were talking to one another about the conclusion of this situation. So, as we look at this storm, we got to remember something. A storm can take place at any moment, right? Any moment in our life, a storm can develop and take place, and we may be in the midst of it. Whether in the Sea of Galilee, or in our own very lives, or in Grand County for that matter, the storms can take place in just any second, any time. And when we look at the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee is really a lake of sweet water in Israel that is about 13 miles long and 8.1 miles wide in its widest place. So it's really just a big lake. Now, to go around the lake, it requires quite a few time. I mean, it's almost 30 miles, over 30 miles to go around the whole circumference of the lake. So it's only proper or easier to go right through the middle to go to the other side and get to the towns on the other side. But as we look into this lake sits 650 feet below the level of the Mediterranean Sea. So it makes it appropriate for the storms to rise up over there as the cool wind comes from the Mediterranean Sea or the mountains surrounding the region and heating the warm air that is on that lake, which is actually the second deepest lake in the world, the Sea of Galilee. And so when those airs connect, storms like this can take place in any minute. I mean, even if there's no weather or wind in that region, right on the lake you would have a storm that takes place all of a sudden and you were not aware of that taking place that day. So we look at this and look in verse 35 through 37. Look at what Jesus is doing, because in the sovereign plan of God there is a reason and a purpose for every storm. And that's what I plan on sharing with you this morning and what I see in the scriptures. There is a reason and a purpose for every storm in our lives. Even though the world may like to tell us that sometimes when we are in the midst of a storm, it's because we are in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what they want us to think, right? Science will say that. But if we really look at the Word of God, there is no randomness in these storms that take place. Look in verse 35. On that day, which is the day that the Lord chooses, when evening had come, not in the morning, not in the middle of the day, but in the evening, when it came, Jesus is the one who said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. There were more people behind the boat of the disciples. And on that very day, when the evening came, a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. You look at this passage, and there is a sequence of events taking place that are very clear, and there are overwhelming details in everything that is going on, and it almost seems for sure that Jesus is planning for a storm. He knows the time of the storm. He knows how to get to the storm. And he wants them to be there in the storm. And so what is the purpose of this passage for us this morning? Is that we must trust that Jesus is in control. Not only of the storm, but of any storm. Any storm, because he is God. And not just to stop in the storm, but getting us to the storm in time. And why would he want us to be in the storm? And then if we look carefully, we will also realize that he is the one creating the storm, because he is God Almighty. Amen? He is God Almighty. Now, I know you're wondering and thinking, how are we going to arrive to this conclusion? Well, let me tell you, Jesus is not only able to stop the storm, but in full control of the storm. And not just this storm, but Jesus is in control of every storm. Let me invite you first to the book of Job, chapter 37. Because God in his sovereignty controls the ins and outs of every storm. Look what the Word of God says in regard to storms and the control and sovereignty of God over the storms. Chapter 37, verse 5, and this is Elihu who spoke to Job. And out of these four guys that spoke to Job, the three first friends of Job were rebuked by the Lord, but not Elihu. And Elihu is sharing about the Lord here, and he says in verse 5, God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things that we cannot comprehend. For to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From its chamber comes the whirlwind and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance, to accomplish all that he commands them on the face of the habitable world. God is in control of the storms. Amen? Amen? We read that here in the passage. And he does great things through the storms that we do not understand. We don't comprehend why the storms. But then look in verse 13. Whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. He is the one who's letting the storm take place, and he allows it for a reason. And sometimes we wonder, God, why is this storm going on? And so there is no question about the sovereignty of God over the storms. We may not understand his full purpose or how he will use that for good, because according to the Bible, he used just about everything for good in the Bible for us, right? No, he uses everything for good. Amen? Everything. And when we see the storms, we wonder and we say, Lord, why are you doing or allowing or letting this storm take place? Well, we don't understand everything, but from the beginning to the end, the creator of the storm is in full control of the storm. And we need to rest in that fact. In Psalm 135, verse 6, the Bible says, whatever the Lord pleases, he does. in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. In fact, I'm going to look at the next verse right there, which is verse 7. And it continues to say this. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightning for the rain, and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of men and of beasts, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants. So when God is allowing the storms and even difficult things that we don't understand, He's showing His signs to His servants and to the world and to the people in His creation. Amen? God is in control of the storm. As I'm looking at you here this morning, I'm thinking, is God really in control? And is He really sovereign over every situation that is happening? Even when those things, and let me just bring this to your attention, even when some things that happen in this world may seem to be unjust, unfair, difficult to grasp. And some people will say, no, my God is not in control of that. He's letting it happen, but He's not in control, or He's not causing it. Let me invite you to the book of Amos here, because, and I wasn't going to go here, but I feel like for the sake of what's going on this morning, I want you to go there, because I mean, my personal study, I'm going here through Amos. And there is a series of things happening here that I want you to see. The Bible says in chapter 3 of Amos, hear this word, the word that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family that I brought up of the land of Egypt. God is speaking through the prophets to His people. And in verse 2 He says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. The Lord sometimes punishes us. And He allows the storms. Now, sometimes we wonder and we say, will God really be causing storms that punish us and chasten us and make us humble? Look in verse 3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? And this is obviously a bunch of rhetorical questions that make us go to one answer. Verse 4. Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if he has taken nothing? Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Obviously, all these questions have a no answer. And then in verse 5, continuing, it says, does a snare springs up from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Remember, when a trumpet was blown, it was because war was arising or coming to the town. And then in 6, continuing, does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? The sovereign will of God over everything. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing His secret to His servants, the prophets. And we have knowledge in the Bible of the sovereignty of God. And we see the instruction of God, how God is in control of the storms. And when things are happening, there is something that is causing those things to take place. Now in verse 8 it says, the lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Often, you know, we like to, for the sake of not connecting the dots, we like to ignore what really is going on in our lives, in our nation, in our families, or in the world in which we live. But when we look at a storm, we need to really wonder, God, what is your purpose and what is your plan in the midst of this storm in my life? That's something that we need to ask. Going forward here in Amos chapter 5, actually chapter 4, God is still speaking to His people. And in verse 6, He says, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and lack of bread in all your places. Yet, you did not return to me, declares the Lord. And maybe the people was thinking, well, it's just a difficult year for farming. Well, in verse 7 it says, I also withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I will send rain on one city and send no rain to another city. One field will have rain, and the field on which I did not rain will wither. So two or three cities will wander to another city and drink water and will not be satisfied. Yet, you did not return to me, declares the Lord. You didn't connect the dots. You didn't see where this was coming from. Then in verse 9 it says, I struck you with blight and mildew for your many gardens and your vineyards, your fig trees and your olive trees, the locust devoured, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. You're not connecting the dots. I sent among you a pestilence after the manner of Egypt, and I killed your young men with the sword and carried away your horses, and I made the stench of your camp go up into your nostrils, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Because you thought it was just a random situation that was taking place. I overthrew some of you as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as brand plucked out of the burning, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For behold, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to men what is his thought, who makes the morning darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Is God in control of everything that is going on around our life? He is. He is. And when something is going on, it's not always the punishment or chastening of God. But I think, as in Mark chapter 4, God is trying to reveal something to us. And he's trying to teach us how to trust in him and surrender in every way. So, first of all, we need to learn that he reigns over the storms. He is in full control of the storm. And as we look at God Almighty in the Old Testament, we also in the New Testament remember that Jesus is God in every way. Therefore, he has full control over every storm. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So, Jesus is the same at all times. So as he was through the Sea of Galilee, facing the storm, he had control over every circumstance of that storm. In verse 41 of what we read in Mark 4, it says, they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this? He's been teaching us. He's been telling us things. He's been giving us amazing things. And we've seen some miracles, but who is this? That not only heals the mother of Peter, not only heals the lepers, but he's bringing us to the storm. And in the moment when he speaks, the waves and the sea obey him. Do you feel there was a new way or a new level of revelation for the disciples in regard to Jesus right there? There was another level of revelation. So, Jesus is God in every way. And as our Heavenly Father has control of the storm, so does Jesus have control over the storms. In John chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says that Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. He's always working in harmony with the Father and the Holy Spirit. But only what he sees the Father doing. That's what he does. And then look at the last part of the verse. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. In the same power and in the same ability that the Father is working is the Son working and doing the same things. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 17, the Bible says that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, and visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, everything, all things were created through him and for his own glory. Because he is God himself. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Just for a moment, ponder. Think of these things. Jesus is holding everything together. Everything together. So as he went to the cross, he was holding that cross that will carry him together. Those nails that were going to be driven into his hands, he was holding them together. The crew that was directing the whole procession. He was holding that crew together. They thought they were in control, but really Jesus was in control of that storm. In fact, the very spit that they were throwing in his face as they were mocking him and saying, "Are you really God? If you are the Messiah, save yourself from this cross." That very spit, Jesus was holding together. The authority of Pilate and Herod and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the whole complot to take him to the cross, Jesus was letting that be and taking place because there was a great purpose and a great reason for his cross. Amen? The salvation of humankind. And so he's holding everything together. He's created everything. He's fully God, the creator of all things through his power and for his own glory. And in him everything holds together. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. He's God himself, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. When he speaks, things are formed and created or destroyed and devastated. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And believe me, he is ruling with authority. Amen? He is in control of the whole universe. Now, if he's in control of the universe, he's also in control of the cells of our body. Amen? And he's in control of the viruses. Amen? And he's in control of the storms, whether it's a firestorm or a snowstorm here in Grand County. He's in control of those circumstances. And when he's allowing us to get sick for a while and we're facing difficult circumstances, whether in our marriage or with our son or a problem in the church or in leadership in our nation, he's in control and he expects us to believe and trust in him in the middle of the storm. And he wants us to know that he's ruling with power and authority from heaven. And nothing is beyond his hand to act when he wants to. And I look at this and I think, Lord, how often do I forget that you are in control? How often do we believe that it's just a randomness situation going on in our lives? I mean, from the moment when we go to the stop sign, and that light changes, and God maybe hold us from getting into the highway, and maybe being in an accident 2 or 3 or 4 miles down the road. God is always controlling everything in our lives. And we need to trust and surrender in that area, because nothing happens if the will of Jesus is not upholding it. Now let me invite you to the book of Matthew here, and look at another area in which it's hard for us to see this, but it's just the way the Lord is teaching us and how God is in control of everything. In verse 16 of Matthew 10, it says that Jesus is talking to his disciples, and look what he says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And I'm thinking, Lord, why do you choose for us to be weaker in the world? Why are you doing that? And he says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles." Well, Lord, if you are sovereign over the earth and you are king of kings and you are ruling with authority and power from heaven, why do we get to be governors and leaders and in control of everyone else? I mean, why do we have to be drugged and flogged and persecuted for the sake of your kingdom? This is his will. Amen? And this is the way he's establishing his will with us. And he wants us not to come from a place of leadership and position and authority and power. No, no. He wants us to come from a place of humility. Amen? Yes. And he wants us to suffer sometimes and to be persecuted. So then we continue to read here, jumping to verse 21. "Brother will deliver brother over to death." And Lord, why don't you stop that? Why would you allow death to take place? "And the father, his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death." But Lord, this doesn't seem fair or right or just or good. Are you really going to let these things happen? And then if we jump to verse 26, he says, "So have no fear of them." When all these things happen, when persecution arises, have no fear of them. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Continue to be bold. Continue to trust in me. Continue to do my will in spite of opposition and persecution and even killings and death. Because I am in control. Because I am the Lord of lords, and because you are my servants and my disciples. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. But Lord, are you going to allow it? Yes, at times I will. And then look what he says. He says, rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who are you faithful to? And who are you surrendered to? Will the storm control you and push you away? Would you blame the storm? Would you blame people for the storm? Would you say, God, you weren't fair when you let that storm take place in my life, and therefore I'm not going to do what you're asking me anymore? Because you know, God, your will and your way is not really perfect for me or fine with me. I'd rather have another way. Really? Is God's ways, are His ways perfect? Are they? Believe me, I struggle sometimes with God's way. But I have to surrender on His ways. And I have to say, Lord, you have a plan for my life. And what I need to do is, I need to have allegiance with you foremost. First of all, for always. And then look what it's saying here. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? I mean, look at a sparrow. How valuable is a sparrow? When they come and hit the window, and it seems like something happened when that thing hits the window, because they fall dead. And you go and try to see if they're alive, and they're so light, right? I mean, you think, boy, how can these things really live and walk and fly? And then look what it says here. Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. If you die, and if that's my will for you in the midst of circumstances that are hard for you to understand, trust in me. Fear not. Continue to do my will. And persevere. We didn't read it, but what we were in the previous verses, when it says here, is that we need to persevere to the end. And be saved, trusting in God. Now, as we continue here in verse 32, it says verse 31, fear not therefore, for you are more valued than many sparrows. Actually, verse 30, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Are you kidding me? The hairs of my head are numbered? I mean, there was a time when I cared about my hair. Now I don't have any hair. But as I look at this, I think, Lord, you really are in control of my hair? I mean, if God cares for my hair, you know, and seems like that's what the Bible is saying right there. Although sometimes I shave, sometimes I let my beard grow. God is in control of that, and He cares how many of them fall down to the ground a day. Doesn't He care for my life? He cares for your life. He does. And then look what it says in verse 31. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than any sparrow. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. God, you are in control. And in every situation, you are aware of the storm, Jesus. You are aware of my suffering. You are aware of my persecution. You are aware of my temptation. Luke chapter 17 says that temptation in some ways is necessary and is supposed to come. And in other places, that verse says stumbling blocks are sure to happen. They are a necessity. And woe for those that cause it or let it happen. But nevertheless, they are necessary. But as for you, in the midst of suffering, persecution, or loss, you got to remember that He is powerful to stop it if He wants it stopped. Or He is powerful to uphold it and test us in the process by the word of His power. Not one hair of our head will fall to the ground if it's not His will. Because God is in control. In other words, through that storm, Jesus is telling His disciples, I am Lord. I am God. I am in control. And I am in charge of every detail of the storm and of your very life as well. But Lord, the boat is cracking. And it's even filling up. And this is the only way of salvation for us to get to the other side. Yes, we swim, but it's not as easy as you think to go all the way to the other side. You have no idea. We are the fishermen. You are not a fisherman. We've been here on the lake many more times than you have. This is very dangerous. Jesus knows it is dangerous. Yet he led them to the storm. Jesus leads us to the storm. And when he's leading us to the storm, how is he doing that? Well, often we create our own problems. We're good to do that. Amen? And therefore our own storms. But as we face any storm, we are to remember that God leads us to the storm to show us something that is necessary for us to learn. And that is the reasoning of all this passage. Jesus is leading them there so that they will fear him and they will just see him with awe and reverence and say, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's teaching them something. So when I look at storms, you know, we have the storms that we create by our own behavior or decisions. We have the storms that are created sometimes by Satan himself, the adversary of our souls. If you remember in the book of Job, Job was a faithful man, a righteous man, and he was at peace. But then Satan came and talked to God, and God said, why don't you go and take everything that he has away, but don't touch his life. Now, in the moment Satan came, God allowed him. But in the moment Satan came, he took everything away from Job. And then it says there in chapter 1 of Job that a wind rose, and it hit the corners of the house where Job's children were having a gathering. And the house fell, and he killed all the children of Job in 1 minute. Satan, our adversary, sometimes has the power and the ability to raise some storms against us. But never without the sovereign will and direction and power and permission of the Lord. Amen? In the book of Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says that there was a battle in heaven. Michael was fighting against Satan. And Satan at some point in time is thrown out of heaven. And he comes against the people who dwell in the earth. And he comes with great wrath because he knows that he has only a very short time. You know, I look at that and I think the enemy is rising battles and storms sometimes. So our own storms, the storms that Satan creates. And then also sometimes the storms that rise in this world. In this world you will have tribulation. The fact that we are living on this corrupted earth and with people that is corrupted, we are going to have battles and problems and storms. But then, God is in control of these storms, and God himself sometimes raises the storm against us to show us something of his character, of his will and his plan and his purpose for us. Let me invite you to Jonah chapter 1 and look at another man here who faced a storm, whether because of his decision. Nevertheless, God was in control of that storm. He was the one who raised it. And it says in verse 1 that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. As if he could do that, right? I mean, he said, I'm going away from God. Well, the presence of God is everywhere. Amen? He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. And you know, I didn't say this before, but when we don't do the will of the Lord, we're going to have to pay our own expense, okay? Trying to run away from the presence of God. And it doesn't matter where we go. The presence of God is there. Amen? And then look at verse 4. But the Lord, as I remember Pastor Doug saying, the times that we see in the Bible, but God, or but the Lord. Look at this, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Didn't God know that those things were valuable? Why would he raise a storm in the sea? And they threw everything away because they wanted it to make that possible, the lighten the load of the sheep. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the sheep and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And of what people are you?" And you know, Jonah wasn't ready to answer all these questions. He was running away from the will of the Lord. But here he was confronted because of a storm. And then he says to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." It is because of me. God is in control. He's creating the storm. He's trying to tell me something here that I haven't been doing. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish from this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled them into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. What a coincidence, right? It happened to be that as they threw him in the water, everything stopped. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The Lord is the one who appointed the storm. And the Lord is the one who appointed these men to confront Jonah. And the Lord is the one who appointed the fish for Jonah to be saved, to be protected after what he was doing. So Jesus led us into the storm. God leads us into the storm. Or the storms are brought to us when we are not obeying his will. Let me invite you to Psalm 107 and just look at another place where we see things that are difficult to understand sometimes, but yet God uses them in our lives for something, in our lives for something good. And how even storms rise up so that we know and learn something from him. In verse 1 it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gather in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." So we are the redeemed. And God has bring us out from darkness, from different situations, and he wants us to praise him and to thank him. And then in verse 4 it says, some of those redeemed wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. See, when we are in trouble, when we are in the desert wastes, and when we are finding no way to a city, hungry and thirsty, but cry to God in the midst of our distress, he delivered us. In verse 10, it says, some sat in darkness and in shadows of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. God sometimes allows these things to happen so that we humble ourselves down and surrender everything to him. And then in verse 14 it says, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bones apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Verse 17 says, some were fools through their sinful ways and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and He delivered them from their distress and He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. And then look in verse 23. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, and they went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad that the waters were quiet. And He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. God is the one who raises the storm. And He's the one who quiets the storm. And in the process, we learn to trust in Him and to cry out to Him and to expect for miracles and to say, God, why is this a storm? Why are You letting this storm in my life? In the storm, when we see the things that are going on, we learn to know that God is there in the midst of the storm with us, leading us to it so that we learn something powerful from Him. And yes, God uses everything together for good. Amen? Or every situation. And He allows us to grow and to understand His purpose in all that. In Mark 4:35, we read, on that day, when evening had come, He said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was. They thought they had control of Jesus. They were carrying Him. But really, it was the Lord who was leading them. Other boats were with them. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. The disciples took Jesus in their boat, but He was leading them into the storm. Are we in a storm? Are you in a personal situation right now in your life in which you feel like you are in the midst of a storm? Seems to be like this year we have seen many storms from the beginning of the year to the end. Amen. And not only storms, but it seems like sometimes we're in the storm and then there's another storm within the storm that is raging. And when we started throughout this journey in Mark chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, we had an idea of talking about clear vision 2020. And, you know, sometimes we think we have a plan, but really the Lord says, oh, so you want clear vision? I'm going to show you what clear vision is. And in the midst of everything that has been going on, I think through the storms, we have learned something. We have learned to fix our eyes in Jesus. And we have learned to remember that He is in our boat. There were many boats at that time. But Jesus was with them in the boat. Amen? And as He was leading them through the storm, they were going to get to see the whole picture. Not just the storm rising up and being crazy and then all of a sudden clear and all calm. Those were the other boats. But for the ones in Jesus' boat, they knew who was in control of the storm. Who is in control of 2020? Why is God allowing some of these storms to continue to go? You know, somebody said, make sure you write everything of this year in a journal. If I had time, I probably will do that, you know. And there are so many things that have gone and have taken place from the beginning of the year to now. And in some ways, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm looking forward to 2021 because maybe it's going to be a different year and the storm is going to calm. But what if? What if there is a bigger storm around the corner in 2021? Have I been learning to trust in God? Am I surrendering everything to Him? You know, the Bible says that there will be great storms coming up in the end times, right? In fact, it says in Matthew 24, and one thing that when they ask Jesus, when are these things going to happen? And what sign shall be of your return? Jesus says one thing first. He says, see to it that no one is deceived. Because in the middle of the storms, we lose our orientation and where we are, and we kind of get all scared, right? But he says, see to it that you're not deceived. That you stay strong, that you have clear vision, that you understand where you're going, and who is in your boat. Who is in your boat? So, as we look into these storms, God is in control. Through every storm, we are presented with an opportunity to learn more from God. And He wants to reveal His character and His power and His love. He loves us. He is powerful. And He has a plan and a purpose for our life. And we need to surrender everything to Him. So in the storm, Jesus requires us to have faith. He wants us to have faith in the midst of the storm. When that windstorm arose and the waves were breaking into the boat and the boat was already filling, He was in the stern. He was asleep in the cushion. And they woke Him up and they said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He knew everything, right? He knew the thoughts of men and He knew what they were plotting and everything they were doing against Him. And therefore, He didn't trust anybody. So He knew of this storm. In fact, He wanted them to be there in time. And now He's asleep in the cushion. And in the midst of the storm, what's in our heart is revealed. You know that? Whatever is in our heart in the midst of the storm is going to be revealed. Whether it's fear, anger, pride, faith. We are going to react according to the things that are in our heart. Bitterness, unforgiveness, division, dissension, you know, blame. Blaming other people, victimizing ourselves for our circumstances. And that's not something that Jesus did or that He called His disciples to do. He said, the storm is part of my purpose, but Lord, I don't like the storm. Would you please change the storm? Surrender everything to me and have faith in the midst of the storm. I remember one day, you know, it was in 2003, and I think it was my second winter here in Grand County. So, you know, the first winter, if you know that, you know, it's crazy. You get stuck in every corner and you don't know how to handle your car in the midst of the snow. But at this point in time, it was the second winter. And it was around Thanksgiving week when my boss, who I was working for, invited me for dinner in Grand Lake. And I thought, sure, I'll go. So I went over there. I think it was a Friday night. And I got over there. It was a beautiful, calm, sunny day. It was cold, but it was calm and sunny. And as I spent 2 or 3 hours inside the house with them, it snowed some in the ground. So when I opened the door to go out, there were 2 or 3 inches of snow in the ground. And but I felt confident. I felt like I know what it is, you know, to be a winter in Grand County. So I start driving from Grand Lake to Granby where I lived. And right when I was getting to the Indian Peaks Marina over there, what used to be the Grand Elk Marina, in that area where the lake gets all the way to the edge of the highway, I was in that little curve over there, about 50 miles per hour, I lost control of the pickup truck that I was driving. And you know how that happens. It's just in a second, all of a sudden, you're trying to maneuver your car and wonder what to do. And instead of going forward, I was going sideways. And it was not snowing anymore because I can see the reflection of the moon on my left on the lake. And I knew something. It's not snowing. But also I realized something. When these tires get track again, I may end up in the water of this lake. And I don't want to be there. And you know how many thoughts come to your mind in a second, you know, when you're there. And so I'm starting to panic and freaking out and moving the wheel and pushing the brakes a little bit and wondering, should I brake? Should I put the gas pedal down a little bit? Should I move to the other side? And I'm just really scared. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then after a few thoughts, I said, Lord, please help me. And just by a coincidence, you know, my truck went back to the right direction. And I say, thank you, Lord. It took me a while to pray. It took me a while to realize that God could be there in the middle of the storm with me and that I could approach Him and ask Him for a miracle. Amen? Well, a couple years later, I got married and my wife and I were in Denver on a Sunday. We used to go to church to Denver. And we were there when we were coming back on the afternoon, and it was raining hard again in the beginning of the winter. And that rain became snow. And we were in the middle of Idaho Springs, and I was about 60 miles per hour now. And it was the same truck. So I'm going in the freeway, and the same thing happened. Now, instead of going straight forward, I'm going sideways, and I can see the wall in the middle of the two lanes, too high and too close to the truck. And right away, Dahlia holds my shoulder, and she said, "Oh, what's going to happen, please?" And right away, I say, "Oh, Lord, please." And you know, I didn't think to pray. It came out of my heart. I just say, "Lord, please help us right now." And God again saved us from that moment of an accident, destruction. You know, whatever is in your heart is going to come out in the midst of the storm. Anger, fear, pride, whatever is there is going to come out. Let it be that when we face the storms, we know so much of God, so much of the Lord, that we rely upon Him and we cry out His name in the midst of the storm. I wonder how much time did it took for the disciples to plan to go and wake up Jesus, right? Well, we can do this. Well, maybe let's do that. Well, maybe let's row a little harder. Maybe let's go in that direction. And then eventually say, "You know what, Peter, maybe you should go and talk to the master because this is not working." No, have John go. No, let's have Jacob do it. And eventually, when it was out of control, they went home and just shook him up and say, "Lord, don't you care? We are perishing here." What do we do in the midst of the storm? Do we cry out to God? Do we have an expectancy of a miracle in our lives? You know, God often overwhelms us in the very place that we are familiar with. Because He wants us to trust Him. He's teaching us to trust Him. And even when we think we got everything under control, all of a sudden we see the storm. Jesus was completely asleep. But let me tell you, He's not asleep in the midst of our storm. Amen? He is not asleep in the midst of the storm. He knows the details of our situation. And God cares for us. And He does not want us to perish. He wants us to be moving forward and growing in His knowledge. He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? You are being led by fear in everything here that you're doing. You still have no faith? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Jesus is Lord. Amen? He is the creator of the universe. He is God in all His attributes, with no beginning and no end. You know, He's faithful in all His ways. He's never changing. He's merciful and compassionate. He's just and loving. And yes, He has a plan in our lives. Jesus is Lord. Surrender to the Lord in your life. Come to Him. When Jesus wills and commands, the storm will stop immediately. Right in that place. Oh, the authority of Jesus Christ. His power, His direction, and His grace. Jesus led His disciples to a storm to show them His power. There is something that I've been teaching you here in these lessons, but there is something that you're not going to get unless I take you through a process. Amen? The parables and the teachings and the miracles that you have seen, they are great. But as disciples, you need to grow in another level. What is that level, Lord? I'm going to take you to a storm. And right in the midst of the storm, when you think there's no remedy, I'm going to rescue you from the storm. And you will know that I have power. You will grow in faith. Our unbelief leads us to wonder, where is God in the midst of our trouble? But when we see Him work, we grow in faith. And then He showed them that He cared. From confusion to godly fear. And in the process, we get to really know the secrets of the kingdom of God, as Jesus has said. And in every storm and trial that we face, there is an opportunity for us. An opportunity to trust Christ in the immediacy of our problems. And say, "Lord, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do in the midst of an accident in my life? What are you going to do in my marriage when there is confusion and struggles and fights and arguments? What are you going to do in the midst of my children's lives? When it seems like they're not putting their faith in you. When it seems like they're getting afraid of the circumstances or they're not accepting our authority or direction as parents. God, what are you going to do in their lives?" See, there is always an opportunity to know His identity and power through every circumstance of the storm. Every circumstance. And to seek His help as we rest in the fact that He knows of the storm. He cares for us and He is in full control of the storm. Amen. Let us bow our heads this morning and just pray to God. And whether it's a familiar situation in your life, whether it's something that has to do with things that are beyond your control, will you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, You are in control. You are God. And You know what is best for us. And Lord, in Your purposes, nothing is wasted, Lord. Even when we go through trials and tribulations and afflictions and difficulties, nothing is wasted. You have a plan and a reason for everything, Lord. And we want to surrender everything to You. Lord, allow us to trust You in the midst of the storm. And allow us to expect for a miracle. You said, You have not because You ask not. Lord, we want to be willing and remembering to pray, to ask, to cry out to You in the midst of the storm. You are powerful. And when You will and You want to, Lord, You will control and stop the storm. So allow us to trust in that. Allow us to have faith in You. And allow us, Lord, to believe that through any storm, You are doing something amazing and powerful in us. Yes, Lord. We grow in our knowledge and our faith of You sometimes through struggles, problems, and trials. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You for everything. And Lord, as we are in that boat, when we see Your hand working, Lord, we can go to the other boats and proclaim Your truth, Your power. Yes, Lord. Your love and Your everything that You're doing, Your character, Lord. So now, allow us to continue on in every way, proclaiming Your name, Lord, and being Your servants in the midst of it all. Thank You, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us rise up. Let us stand up and worship the Lord through this last song.